Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of Bible Problems for Today. My name is Heather, and today we're actually reading through the Bible using the one-year chronological Bible, the New Living Translation, large print, of course. And today we are on April the 3rd, April the 3rd. If you guys were joining me last night, I do apologize, but I went ahead and just did a prophecy update because, I think those things needed to be said. And so we're going to jump on in here to April the 3rd's reading. And it's going to be Shechem's revolt against Abimelech. And so I am dog sitting today. And if you hear Cisco in the background, he is a beautiful golden retriever. He is one of my best customers. I love him. He is absolutely the best. And so anyway, the wind is blowing here, gusting to 70 miles an hour. Welcome to the panhandle of Texas in the springtime. So I know my brother talks about the Santa Ana winds in California. I have been there. I was in Castaic, and I have experienced the Santa Ana winds there in California. But I still think we got y'all beat here in the Texas panhandle, but we're going to go on from there. Okay, so here we go. Shechem's revolt against Abimelech, Judges chapter 9, verses 22 through 57. So after Abimelech had ruled over Israel for 3 years, God sent a spirit that stirred up trouble between Abimelech and the leaders or in the leading citizens of Shechem, and they revolted. God was punishing Abimelech for murdering Gideon's 70 sons and the citizens of Shechem for supporting him in this treachery of murdering his brothers. The citizens of Shechem set an ambush for Abimelech on the hilltops and robbed everyone who passed that way. But someone warned Abimelech about their plot. One day, Gaal, son of Ebed, moved to Shechem with his brothers and gained the confidence of the leading citizens of Shechem. During the annual harvest festival of Shechem, held in the temple of the local god, the wine flowed freely and everyone began cursing Abimelech. "Who is Abimelech?" Gaal shouted, "He's not a true son of Shechem, so why should we be his servants? He's merely the son of Gideon, and this Zebul is merely his deputy. Serve the true sons of Hamor, the founder of Shechem. Why should we serve Abimelech? If I were in charge here, I would get rid of Abimelech. I would say to him, get some soldiers and come out and fight." But when Zebul, the leader of the city, heard what Gaal was saying, he was furious. He sent messengers to Abimelech in Arumah, telling him, "Gaal, son of Ebed, and his brothers have come to live in Shechem, and now they are inciting the city to rebel against you. Come by night with an army and hide out in the fields. In the morning, as soon as it is daylight, attack the city. When Gaal and those who are with him come out against you, you can do with them as you wish." So Abimelech and all his men went by night and split into four groups, stationing themselves around Shechem. Gaal was standing at the city gates when Abimelech and his army came out of hiding. When Gaal saw them, he said to Zebul, "Look, there are people coming down from the hilltops." Zebul replied, "It's just the shadows of the hills that look like men." But again, Gaal said, "No, people are coming down from the hills, and another group is coming down the road past the diviner's oak. Or the diviner's oak." Then Zebul turned on him and asked, "Now where is that big mouth of yours? Wasn't it you who said, 'Who is Abimelech and why should we be his servants?' Then the men you mocked are right outside the city. Go out and fight them." So Gaal led the city citizens of Shechem into battle against Abimelech. But Abimelech chased him, and many of Shechem's men were wounded and fell along the road as they retreated to the city gate. And Abimelech returned to Arumah, and Zebul drove Gaal and his brothers out of Shechem. The next day, the people of Shechem went out into the fields to battle. When Abimelech heard about it, he divided his men into three groups and set an ambush in the fields. When Abimelech saw the people coming out of the city, he and his men jumped up from their hiding places and attacked them. Abimelech and his group stormed the city gate to keep the men of Shechem from getting back in, while Abimelech's other two groups cut them down in the fields. The battle went on all day before Abimelech finally captured the city. He killed the people, leveled the city, and scattered salt all over the ground. When the leading citizens who lived in the Tower of Shechem heard what had happened, they ran and hid in the Temple of Baal-Berith.
Someone reported to Abimelech that the citizens had gathered in the temple. So he led his forces to Mount Zalmon, who took an axe and chopped some branches from a tree, then put them at his shoulder. "Quick, do as I have done," he told his men. So each of them cut down some branches, following Abimelech's example. They piled the branches against the walls of the temple and set them on fire. So all the people who had lived in the Tower of Shechem died, about 1,000 men and women. Then Abimelech attacked the town of Thebez and captured it. But there was a strong tower inside the town, and all the men and women in the entire population fled to it. They barricaded themselves in and climbed up to the roof of the tower. Abimelech followed them to attack the tower, but as he prepared to set fire to the entrance, a woman on the roof dropped a millstone that landed on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. He quickly said to his young armor bearer, "Draw your sword and kill me. Don't let it be said that a woman killed Abimelech." So the young man ran him through with his sword, and he died. When Abimelech's men saw that he was dead, they disbanded and returned to their homes. In this way, God punished Abimelech for the evil he had done against his father by murdering his 70 sons. God also punished the men of Shechem for all their evil. So the curse of Jotham, son of Gideon, was fulfilled. Tola becomes Israel's judge. Judges chapter 10, verses 1 through 2. After Abimelech died, Tola, son of Puah, son of Dodo, was the next person to rescue Israel. He was from the tribe of Issachar, but lived in the town of Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim. He judged Israel for 23 years. When he died, he was buried in Shamir. Jair becomes Israel's judge. Judges chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. After Tola died, Jair from Gilead judged Israel for 22 years. His 30 sons rode around on 30 donkeys, and they owned 30 towns in the land of Gilead, which are still called the towns of Jair. When Jair died, he was buried in Canaan. The Ammonites oppressed Israel. Judges chapter 10, verses 6 through 18. Again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. They served the images of Baal and Ashtoreth and the gods of Aram, Sidon, Moab, Ammon, and Philistia. They abandoned the Lord and no longer served him at all. So the Lord burned with anger against Israel, and he turned them over to the Philistines and the Ammonites, who began to oppress them that year. For 18 years, they oppressed all the Israelites east of the Jordan River in the land of the Amorites, that is, in Gilead. The Ammonites also crossed to the west side of the Jordan and attacked Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim. The Israelites were in great distress. Finally, they cried out to the Lord for help, saying, "We have sinned against you because we have abandoned you as our God and have served the images of Baal." The Lord replied, "Did I not rescue you from the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Amalekites, and the Maonites? When they oppressed you, you cried out to me for help, and I rescued you, yet you have abandoned me and served other gods. So I will not rescue you anymore. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen. Let them rescue you in your hour of distress." But the Israelites pleaded with the Lord and said, "We have sinned. Punish us as you see fit. Only rescue us today from our enemies." Then the Israelites put aside their foreign gods and served the Lord, and he was grieved by their misery. At that time, the armies of Ammon had gathered for war and were camped in Gilead, and the people of Israel assembled and camped at Mizpah. The leaders of Gilead said to each other, "Whoever attacks the Ammonites first will become ruler over all the people of Gilead." Jephthah becomes Israel's judge. Judges chapter 11, verses 1 through 28. Now Jephthah of Gilead was a great warrior. He was the son of Gilead, but his mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also had several sons, and when these half-brothers grew up, they chased Jephthah off the land. "You will not get any of our father's inheritance," they said, "for you are the son of a prostitute." So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Soon he had a band of worthless rebels following him. At about this time, the Ammonites began their war against Israel. When the Ammonites attacked, the elders of Gilead sent for Jephthah in the land of Tob. The elders said, "Come and be our commander. Help us fight the Ammonites." But Jephthah said to them, "Aren't you the ones who hated me and drove me from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble?" "Because we need you," the elders replied. "If you lead us into battle against the Ammonites, we will make you ruler over all the people of Gilead." Jephthah said to the elders, "Let me get this straight. If I come with you, and if the Lord gives me victory over the Ammonites, will you really make me ruler over all the people?" "The Lord is our witness," the elders replied. "We promise to do whatever you say." So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him their ruler and commander of the army. At Mizpah, in the presence of the Lord, Jephthah repeated what he had said to the elders. Then Jephthah sent messengers to the king of Ammon, saying, "Why have you come out to fight against my land?" The king of Ammon answered Jephthah's messengers, "When the Israelites came out of Egypt, they stole my land from the Arnon River to the Jabbok River and all the way to Jordan. Now then, give back the land peaceably." Jephthah sent his messengers back to Ammonite, to the Ammonite king. This is what Jephthah says: "Israel did not steal any land from Moab or Ammon. When the people of Israel arrived at Kadesh on their journey from Egypt after crossing the Red Sea, they sent messengers to the king of Edom asking for permission to pass through his land, but their request was denied. Then they asked the king of Moab for similar permission, but he wouldn't let them pass through there either. So the people of Israel stayed in Kadesh. Finally, they went around Edom and Moab through the wilderness. They traveled along Moab's eastern border and camped on the other side of the Arnon River. But they never once crossed the Arnon River into Moab, for the Arnon was the border of Moab. Then Israel sent messengers to King Sihon of the Amorites, who ruled from Heshbon, asking for permission to cross through his land to get to their destination. But King Sihon didn't trust Israel to pass through his land. Instead, he mobilized his army in Jahaz and attacked them. But the Lord, the God of Israel, gave his people victory over King Sihon. So Israel took control of all the land of the Amorites, who lived in that region, from the Arnon River to the Jabbok River, and from the eastern wilderness to the Jordan. So you see, it was the Lord, the God of Israel, who took away the land from the Amorites and gave it to Israel. Why then should we give it back to you? You keep whatever your God Chemosh or Chemosh gives you, and we will keep whatever the Lord our God gives us. Are you any better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he try to make a case against Israel for disputed land? Did he go to war against them? Israel has been living here for 300 years, inhabiting Heshbon and its surrounding settlements all the way to Aroer and its settlements, and in all the towns along the Arnon River. Why have you made no effort to recover it before now? Therefore, I have not sinned against you. Rather, you have wronged me by attacking me. Let the Lord who is judge decide today which of us is right, Israel or Ammon." But the king of Ammon paid no attention to Jephthah's message. Guys, I hope you're enjoying me and enjoying the reading of the word, and hope you're enjoying this as we travel through the Bible chronologically. It sure has been a blessing to me, and I hope it's been a blessing to you guys as well. And join me later on as we continue with the scripture reading of April the 4th, and we'll pick up with Jephthah's vow in Judges chapter 11, the good Lord willing. And until then, get into the word of God, let the word of God get into you, and Maranatha, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. May today be the day that the Lord Jesus comes and takes us home. As Art says, perhaps today. Folks, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray that today is the day you do. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But Jesus Christ took that upon himself. He took our sin upon himself. He died in our place on the cross. And so I pray that today you would put your faith in Jesus Christ and the work that he did for you and I on the cross. Ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you. Repent of your sins, turn away, and follow Jesus today. And with that, guys, I'm going to get out of here. May our God bless you, and may he keep you, and may he give you boldness to keep preaching his word in this day and age that we live in right now. We are living in the end of the end days, so start looking up, folks, because when Jesus said, when these things begin to happen, hold your head up high, for your redemption draws near.